Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman, member by Avram Goldhar, and today we're Masechus Megillah, Daf Chaf Vav. Beginning the fourth parak, B'nai Ir. The Zichu Masechus Megillah program has been generously sponsored by the Queen's Zichu Chabur. So the three Dafs are going to focus on, number one, the opening mission, the fourth parak states, B'nai Ir Shem Machru Beis Knesses Lochim Teva. If residents of a town sold a Beis Knesses, they may purchase an ark, an aron, with its proceeds. This is based on the principle of Malim B'Kodesh V'lo Meridin. We ascend in Kodesh matters, but we do not descend. In this case, the Ark has more Kedusha than the Beis Knesses. With regard to the sale of the Beis Knesses, Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni said in the name of Yonasan, Loshana o Beis Knesses shel Kfarim. The mission's ruling is only in regard to a countryside shul, which is the property of the villagers, of o Beis Knesses shel Chrachin, but regarding a shul in a city, came into Ma'alma Asule, Lamatz Mezabnile, the Habile de Rabim. Since people from outside the city come to it, the residents of the city have no right to sell it because it belongs to the general public. Tosos explains that since outsiders come, the people who built it consecrated it with them in mind, even though they did not contribute to its construction. Therefore, it has greater Kedusha. Alternatively, the people from outside do contribute to its construction and maintenance, and therefore it cannot be considered exclusively the property of the town's residents. Point number two, the Gemara brings Malchukas whether Nischalka Yushalayim Lushvatim, whether Yushalayim was apportioned to the Shvatim. After the Gemara brings up Brisa to support the view that it was apportioned to the Shvatim, based on a Brisa that teaches how the base of Mikdash area was divided among the tribes of Yehuda and Binyamin, it brings the following Brisa that supports the view that it was not apportioned to the Shvatim. It was taught, Ein Maskirim Batim Yushalayim, one may not rent out houses in Yushalayim, Pnei She'ein and Shalahen, because the houses are not theirs, but they belong to the greater public. Rashi explains that people were not permitted to rent out their homes, so they only were gone to the pilgrims. Rather, they had to let them stay for free. Rabbi Ezer Bar Tzadok said, Afgomitos, they may also not rent out beds. Tosos explains that since the beds are standing on public property, they did not have the right to rent them out for a full rental fee. Lafikov oros kachim balishbizin notun osam bezroa. Therefore, the innkeepers were allowed to take the hides of the people's offerings by force. And point number three, it was taught in a braisa, Tashmishe mitzvah nizrokin, objects used for doing a mitzvah may be discarded since they do not have kedusha after their use. Tashmishe kedusha nignozin. But objects which are accessories to kadosh items must be put in igniza. These are tashmishe mitzvah, a sukkah, a lulav, a shofar, and tzitzis. They may be discarded after their use. And these are tashmishe kedusha, tuskame svarim, tefillin, and mezuzahs, sacks for sacred books, tefillin, and mezuzahs, v'tik shel sefer Torah, a case for a sefer Torah, v'nar tik shel tefillin, urtzu l'sehen, and a case for tefillin and their straps. So once again, the three points are number one. The opening mission of the fourth parak states, B'nai Ir Shem Machru Beis Knesses Lochin Teva. If residents of a town sold a Beis Knesses, they may purchase an aron with its proceeds. This is based on the principle of Malim B'Kodesh V'lo Meridin. We ascend in Kodesh matters, and we do not descend. In this case, the aron, the ark, has more Kedusha than the Beis Knesses. With regard to the sale of the Beis Knesses, Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni said, and then Rabbi Yonasan, Oshana Ela Beis Knesses Shel Kfarim. The mission's ruling is only in regard to a countryside shul, which is the property of the villagers, of a Beis Knesses Shel Kerachim. But regarding a shul in a city, came into Ma'alma Asule, L'matz Mezabnile, D'Habile D'Rabim. Since people from outside the city come to it, the residents of the city have no right to sell it because it belongs to the general public. Tosos explains that since the outsiders come, the people who built it consecrated it with them in mind, even though they did not contribute to its construction. Therefore, it has greater Kedusha. Alternatively, the people from outside do contribute to its construction and maintenance, and therefore, it cannot be considered exclusively the property of the town's residents. Point number two, more brings a Malchokos, whether Nischalku Yushalayim L'Shvatim, whether Yushalayim was apportioned to the Shvatim. After the more brings a Braisa to support the view that it was apportioned to the Shvatim, based on a Braisa that teaches how the Beis HaMikdash area was divided among the tribes of Yehuda and Binyamin, it brings the following Braisa that supports the view that it was not apportioned to the Shvatim. It was taught, Ein Maskirim Batim Yushalayim, one may not rent out houses in Yushalayim with Nesha Ein and Shalahen, because the houses are not theirs, but they belong to the greater public. Rashi explains that people were not permitted to rent out their homes to the Oy Ragoim, the pilgrims. Rather, they had to let them stay for free. But Ezer Bar Tzadok said, Afgomitos, they may also not rent out beds. Tosis explains that since the beds are standing on public property, they did not have the right to rent them out for a full rental fee. Lafikach oros kachim bal yishbizin notin osan bezroa. Therefore, the innkeepers were allowed to take the hides of the people's offerings by force. And point number three was taught in a braisa, Tashmishe mitzvah nizrokin, objects used for doing a mitzvah may be discarded since they do not have kedusha after they use. Tashmishe kedusha nignozim, but objects which are accessories to kadusha items must be put in igniza. These are Tashmishe mitzvah, a sukkah, a lulav, shofar, and tzitzis. They may be discarded after the use. And these are Tashmishe kedusha, duskame svarim, tefillin, and mezuzos, sacks for sacred books, tefillin and mezuzahs, v'tikshel sefer Torah, a case for a sefer Torah, v'nar tikshel tefillin u'tzulasen, and a case for tefillin and their straps. All right, so now we go to our simur daf chav vav, and a standard simon is a military coup. A military coup. So here goes. The soldiers taking part in the military coup, who surrounded the shul in the city to prevent its sale, stayed overnight for free in Yerushalayim by hosts that live next to the town Geniza for Tashmishei Kedusha. Once again, slow motion. The soldiers taking part in the military coup. Coup? That must be more daf chav vav. The soldiers taking part in the military coup, who surrounded the shul in the city to prevent its sale. Which reminds us, a shul can be sold to purchase an arum based on Malim Makosh Vilmarin. We ascend and coach matters, but we do not descend. But this only applies to a countryside shul. A shul belonging to the city may not be sold. Since people from outside the city come to it, the residents of the city have no right to sell it because it belongs to the general public. So the soldiers taking part in the military coup who surrounded the shul in the city to prevent its sale stayed overnight for free in Yerushalayim, which reminds us, the Gemara brings the Machlokas whether Nischalki Yerushalayim was Shvatim, whether Yerushalayim was a portion of the Shvatim. After the Gemara brings a Braisa to support the view that it was a portion of the Shvatim, based on how the temple area was divided among the tribes of Yehuda and Binyamin, it brings a Braisa that supports the view that it was not a portion of the Shvatim, which states, one may not rent out houses in Yerushalayim, if Nesha Ein and Shalahan, because the houses are not theirs, but they belong to the greater public. Rather, they had to let the Oli Regalim stay there for free. Eliezer Bar Tzedek said, Aflomitos, they may also not rent out beds. So the soldiers taking part in the military coup who surrounded the shul in the city to prevent its sale stayed overnight for free in Yerushalayim by hosts that lived next to the town Geniza for Tashmishei Kedusha. Which reminds us, it was taught in a braisa Tashmishei Mitzvah Nizrokin, objects used for doing a mitzvah such as a sukkah, lulav, shofar, and tzitzis may be discarded since they do not have Kedusha after their use. Tashmishei Kedusha Nignazim, but objects which are accessories to Kedusha items such as sacks for sacred books, tefillin and mezuzahs, a tikshel sefer Torah, and a case for tefillin and their straps must be put in a Geniza. So once again, the soldiers taking part in the military coup who surrounded the shul in the city to prevent its sale stayed overnight for free in Yerushalayim by a host that lived next to the town Geniza for Tashmishei Kedusha. All right, now it's time for four blot back Chazara. Daf Chabbeis. So the sim Daf Chabbeis is a cab. So here goes. The cab, that must be more Daf Chabbeis. The cab pulled up at the shul with two passengers who were going to get their two aliyos from five psukim, which reminds us that we have a Malkokas Rav and Shmuel regarding what to do when there are two aliyos sharing five psukim, when the rule is that one who reads the Torah must read a minimum of three psukim. Rav says, doig, that the second aliyah rereads the third pasuk, since we don't split psukim that Moshe did not split. And Shmuel holds paskinim, they do split the third pasuk in half because of a gezerah of people coming late or leaving early who will think that one of the aliyahs was only two psukim. So the cab pulled up at the shul with two passengers who were going to get their two aliyahs from five psukim. When a second cab pulled up with the person getting the third aliyah on the day of Atinus, which reminds us we have a rule that on Atinus and Tisha B'Av where there's bita malacha, a loss of work that would come from delaying people in shul, there are only three aliyahs. And when there is no bita malacha, such as on Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, there are four aliyahs. So the cab pulled up at the shul with two passengers who were going to get their two aliyahs from five psukim. When a second cab pulled up with the person getting the third aliyah on the day of Atinus, just as the Rav inside was saying Tachanun sitting up because of the stone floor. Which reminds us that one of the reasons given as to why Rav did not bow down on the floor during Tachanun is that there was a stone floor in his section and he did not want to be over on bowing down on an Evan Maskis. Daf Chav Gimel, so the Simon Daf Chav Gimel is Kugelach. So here goes. The excited Kugelach players, that must be more in Daf Chav Gimel. The excited Kugelach players who are quick to come to the tournament and planning to be quick to leave for the pizza party afterwards. Which reminds us, the Gemara seeks to determine the author of the following braisa that says, the inyanta, we come later to shul and are quick to leave, which Rashi explains, we come later because we're preparing the suda and quick to leave because of Simchas Yantav. On Yom Kippur, we're quick to come to shul and leave late. We come early because there's no suda to prepare. And on Shabbos, we are quick to come and quick to go. Rashi explains that since the meal has already been prepared, we can come earlier. It's also ideal so Kriya Shema can be done before sunrise. People are quick to go, so they have more time to enjoy Shabbos. So the excited Kugel players who are quick to come to the tournament and plan to be quick to leave for the pizza party afterwards were seated at tables with 3, 5, and 7 players. Which reminds us, what do the three readers of the Torah for Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos Mincha, the 5 readers for Yontav, and the 7 readers for Shabbos correspond to? So one or more holds as Keneged Birchas Kohanim. They correspond to the number of words in the 3 Psukim Birchas Kohanim. The other Amora says they're Keneged different levels of royal attendance. So The excited Kugelhupf players were quick to come to the tournament and planned to be quick to leave for the pizza party afterwards. Were seated at tables with 3, 5, and 7 players, while their fathers made a minion together, each one davening for his son's success. Which reminds us, we learn from the pasuk "Nikdashti b'toch bnei Yisrael," I'll be sanctified in the midst of bnei Yisrael. That kol davar shebo kedusha lo yeh pachas masar. Any matter of kedusha shall not have less than 10 men. The Gemara asks how it's known that 10 men are required, and brings that Rechia taught a gezer shav that connects the word toch in the pasuk to the word toch in the parsha of Korach, he badum mitoch ha'eda, and connects the word eid in the pasuk of Korach to the word eda in the pasuk of the Meraglim. Daf Chaf Dalet. So the simur Daf Chaf Dalet is a pitcher. So here goes. The shul that had a cupboard full of pitchers, that must be learned Daf Chaf Dalet. The shul that had a cupboard full of pitchers engraved with Achron Achron Chaviv to give as gifts to honor the members willing to do maftir, which reminds us we have a malchukas as to why the one who's accustomed to doing maftir gets so many honors, in that he's poor al shema, he repeats the shema esrei, and if he's a kohen, he's known as kapav. Rav Papa said mishum kavod is because of honor. Rashi explains that since he diminished himself and read maftir, which is not a kavod, we give him rules that do afford him honor. Rabbi Rashimi said mishum daasi lansuye, because he might otherwise come to malchukas with a bald field, meaning that since the bald field received payment for his services, the maftir might become resentful that he's not paid too. So the shul that had a cupboard full of pitchers engraved with Achron Achron Chaviv to give as gifts to honor the members willing to do maftir had a blind shulik sibor who recited the bracha of Yotzeh HaMa'oros, which reminds us we have malchokas whether a suma, a blind person, can be poor al shema since he recites the bracha of Yotzeh HaMa'oros. Rav Yudah says he does not, since he does not get hanah from the light. The Chachamim say he does, since he benefits from the fact that a person with sight can lead him. So the shul that had a cupboard full of pitchers engraved with Achron Achron Chaviv to give as gifts to honor the members willing to do maftir had a blind shulich sibor who recited the bracha of Yotzeh HaMa'oros and didn't realize he accidentally put on a round pair of tefillin. Which reminds us, the Mishnah states, Osa tefilaso agula sakana ve'im bat mitzvah. One who makes his head tefillin around is in danger, because if he bumps into a low doorway, he could puncture his skull, and there's no mitzvah performed when he wears it. Daf Chaf Hei. So the Simon Daf Chaf Hei is a silver anniversary. So here goes. When the husband gave his wife a ring in the shape of a bird's nest on their silver anniversary, that must mean we're on Daf Chaf Hei. When the husband gave his wife a ring in the shape of a bird's nest on their silver anniversary and said, Hashem should have mercy on her too, which reminds us that two reasons are given as to why we silence someone who says, Al kansi po yagiru rachamecha. One reason is because he's matalkina, but my sebreshis, he's provoking jealousy in the works of creation, since he's suggesting that Kosh Baruch has mercy on the birds but not on other animals. Or we silence him if neisha osim idosim shekosh baruch hu rachamim, because he makes the mitzvahs of a kosh baruch hu and tax of rachamim ve'enon el gezeras, when in fact they're only gezeras. So when the husband gave his wife a ring in the shape of a bird's nest on their silver anniversary and said Hashem should have mercy on her too, she grew irate and said all she wants from him is a little yir shamayim, which reminds us Rabbi Chanina said, Hakol bidei shamayim chutz miyir shamayim, everything is in the hands of heaven except for the fear of heaven, as the pasuk states, V'ata Yisrael ma Hashem al kecha sholem imach kim le'ira, and now Yisrael, what does Hashem your God ask of you but to fear Hashem your God? The Gemara asks, Mechlal de'yir milsa zutrasihi, is the Torah implying that the fear of heaven is a small matter? The Gemara answers, Im l'gabi Moshe b'ina milsa zutrasihi, yes, regarding Moshe our teacher, it's a small matter. And then brings a mashal to illustrate why. So when the husband gave a wife a ring in the shape of a bird's nest on their silver anniversary and said, Hashem should have mercy on her too, she grew irate and said all she wants from him is a little yir shamayim, and then made him translate the psukim of the Chet Ha'egel as a form of kapara, which reminds us. The Gemara explains why certain parshios of the Torah we read and translate, and other ones we do not translate. The first narration of the Chet Ha'egel may be read and translated. One might have thought we should be concerned about the honor of Yisrael. However, we translate it anyways, the Havyiluhu Kapar, because it will be Kapar for them. All right, that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldin Zichron, wishing you a great day and great learning.